What's up, everyone? This is Rich, Al Sinestro, and
the Fallen Fed. Hey, guys, what's up?
Welcome to an all-new episode of Fear the Podcasting Dead, only found on the Raw Live and Unedited Podcasting Network. On today's show, we will be dissecting Season 3, Episode 11, La Serpentine of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. All right, Ernie, so we were talking a little bit pre-show. You weren't really moved by this episode of Fear, yeah?
No, not at all. I was thinking that we didn't even have to do an episode this time. Like, we would save it and just add it into the next show. Dude, I was really disappointed by this one. To me, dude, this was just about them getting the water.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they got water. It was very lackluster.
I can see that. I mean, it's very, it's the Fellowship of the Ring kind of deal. It's like just a bunch of trekking around, right?
Yeah. And it was like the whole time we knew they were going to get the water.
You thought like this is an inevitable. We're definitely going to end up with the water end of the episode.
Yeah, it would have been way better if they were driving back empty handed. I knew the whole episode they were going to get water.
I didn't, dude. When we were speaking via text yesterday, I still had yet to watch. I didn't watch it till today when I got home from work. So It's fresh with me right now. I'm losing interest in Fear for sure. You know, like there's a lot of this is a chore, especially when they do the two episodes. I hate when they do the two episodes because I'm like, fuck, now I gotta build notes for two episodes versus one. I get mad, you know. Whereas You give me a double episode of GOT, you give me a double episode of The Walking Dead proper. You know, I'm a kid in a candy store. You can't give enough, you know. So, I mean, I hear you. This episode, I was waiting because I know when you texted me, like, oh, you know, don't watch it. I told you I hadn't watched it. You're like, don't even bother. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's that bad. So I was expecting a bad episode. So my expectations were low. But I can say I really enjoyed it. I didn't think that they were going to end up with water. The way the episode was being pushed with Salazar, the way that he reacts to Strand becoming this kind of rascally character, like they're keeping him that way. You never know if you can trust him kind of thing. With Taka, kind of, you know, at every moment, every turn, he's like, you know what? Fuck you, Madison. You just let me down again. Like every turn, he's ready to jump on Strand. He's ready just to fucking cut Madison loose using the ranch as leverage. I'm thinking, all right, how are they going to do this? And then with Lola now becoming the dictator over the water and shit, you know, like that came out of the blue. So all of these,
right. I felt the same.
All these arrows are pointing towards Madison's going empty handed. And you're right. That would have made a better ending because how do they get out of this? You know, if you write your characters into corners, it makes you get more experimental. It makes you try to get, you know, better storytelling to get that character out of the corner. This is like, okay, well, what's going to possibly be next? Because now they're going back all happy, we have water, you know, Madison's the hero of the week, so where's the strife, where's the struggle, you know, are they going to go back, everyone's dead, and Nick's full of blood, like, what is it, you know,
I think the next episode's going to have to be, is something had to go down at the ranch.
While they were here, okay.
Yeah. Right, because we didn't get anything from the ranch.
Nothing from the ranch, right, you're right. Yeah.
So but go ahead and break it down.
All right, just a little quick breakdown. So basically, we start off with Strand, Maddie, and Taka. And I dug this scene, Ernie, where we have the zombie traffic jam, you know? I mean, you can't really be mad at that. I mean, with Fear, they're always with the gore. They're always with the numbers of zombies, even more so than proper.
What? Really? That scene pissed me off.
What? Why? Oh, okay, wait. Was it the beeping little toy?
Yes.
Okay.
How did that get a herd of 20
okay
to bypass them in this truck that is louder than a beep? He pulled it out, and I was like, oh, motherfucker has a bomb.
Okay, yeah.
Like he was going to set off a bomb.
I thought so, too.
And then it said, beep, beep.
It's like a smoke detector.
Are you fucking serious? See, and this was getting me pissed because of how much shit people talk. And I stick up for the show.
Can't stick up for that
and
one.
And here already. Right, exactly.
I got
the
you.
Truck was louder than the beep. So how did that happen?
That's a big ass diesel engine. That's hella louder than a smoke detector. I got you. I get it. But the scene itself, the setup.
If you have a diesel engine, you can't even order a Del Taco. They make you turn your shit off.
You ain't going to be talking to each other in the cab for sure. It's too loud.
No. They're like, welcome to Del Taco. Can I help you?
No.
And you're like starting to order. Excuse me. Can you turn off your engine, please? I can't hear you.
Yeah. They ain't going to complain about the smoke detector in the seat. That's for sure. That beep's not going to get in the way of your order.
Beep. Beep. Uh-uh. What was that?
You're right. You're right to call it out. And it stood out too. But I just like the preset, like the idea of the zombies. We're so used to the roads being so free in Walking Dead proper. Like they skirt around, you know, Alexandria to Hilltop. No problem. All the roads are clear for them, you know? Granted, the saviors have been clearing up shit, you know, as part of their tax.
So they think you can get around and watch.
With fear, I love how they keep us dirty. They keep us crowded and shit just happened. It just popped off last month or whatever the time frame is. So, you know, of course the roads aren't going to be cleared yet. Of course that's going to continue to be an obstacle for us to get from A to B, you know, because the shit hasn't been cleared out yet. So uh-huh. I like when we do visit stuff like that. So did the dead keep up with them the whole way though, Ernie, after the whole beeping debacle, or were they just right there? Were they just right to their destination? Cause it didn't seem like they were.
No, I think they had more of a drive that we didn't see.
But then why are all of those fucking zombies right on their tail when they get to the junkyard or wherever the fuck they were?
That was true. When they were right there at the gate and they were hurrying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're right. I didn't even think of that.
Made it seem like they were running after them. You know, the zombies were running.
Right.
We do get the sewer diving, right? And this is also, I don't know. I like the Madison Strand dynamic. I love how much she trusts in Strand. I love that it feels like Strand's not trying to pull one over on her. It feels like he's genuinely her friend. So I like the camaraderie because you don't have much of that in Fear. If you think about it, you know, Madison loves her kids, but she doesn't entrust in her kids, and her kids are always super suspect of her, right?
I know, but I'm sorry. I feel like if the moment came, the right opportunity, I feel that Strand would go for his over Madison.
You think so? See, I don't feel that anymore. That's why I don't like
how much she entrusts to him.
Okay. I don't feel that anymore, but it would be great if he does, if he fucking backstabs her. That'd be a great storytelling device, right?
It's just because they always separate and then they're together. Yeah. I just don't get why she's so down for him. I know because she saved them. Or she saved Nick. He saved Nick. Mm-hmm. And then they all went on the boat. But still, you know that he's a dirty motherfucker. It's only the zombie apocalypse. So, like, it just hasn't seemed so long for me to build that opportunity of that close of a relationship.
I think it's like she calls out because Taka is complaining about Strand, calling him, you know, when they're in the tunnels, he's like, this son of a bitch is lost, right? And then she's just like, yo, that son of a bitch is who saved my family. And if you want to give anybody shit, give it to me. Like, I'm ready for your shit. And I think that really they built Madison to, she's Mama Bear, you know, like to a fault. She's trying to keep these kids so close and protected that she's sacrificing her relationship with their kids. I'm not saying the storyline is strong. It's not the best way to tell this story, you know, of uh-huh. that type of character, but I understand where they're trying to go with it. And I think that with Strand is, hey, you did me a solid back in the day. Even though we had all the strife with Strand trying to kick him off the yacht, all the bullshit he went through in Mexico, I think when Strand lost Tomas, it showed the real dude when he broke down, when he cried and Madison was there. And then Madison now losing Travis, I think that's their bond. And that's what really strengthened themselves to each other because they were both open with each other. You know, they both are raw with each other. I feel she gives him as much trust as he gives her. That's why I think it whether they earned it character-wise or not, I like that they've gotten there. And I hope that they continue it. I like to see best friends on screen. I love, dude, when Rick and motherfucking Daryl, when Rick and Daryl reunited after Daryl was that prisoner in the Savior Sanctuary.
Yeah,
and it's like nothing was being said. And then
you didn't have to say nothing.
And he's like, he looks at him, then he does that ugly cry face, and he just hugs his brother, you know? And it's just, I love that. I love that storytelling. I love people being down for one another. You know, I love to see, because you don't see it enough in real life. And even in the fictitious worlds we live in, you don't see it enough. So it's like when I see it, I really latch onto it. So that's kind of why I like that. Whether they earned it or not, you know, because definitely Daryl and Rick earned that shit. So I can.
Okay, well, after you explaining it, you sold me. I understand now. I do.
All
right. You're actually right. All so, the stuff that you made a point of.
So,
only thing I don't get is then Taka says, you gave away my gold. That wasn't gold.
Mm-mm.
Remember we even talked about that?
No, does he? I thought he was talking about the water. I thought he was like, look, you. Because he later brings it back up to Strand. He's like, look, you know, she sacrificed our
my gold.
I was thinking water the whole time, because that's the real commodity there. I think they all understand that. Go fuck the gold or silver. Like, nobody's, you know, other than Madame Gao at the bazaar, is really dealing with gold and silver anymore. You know, it's all about what's going to keep me alive, and that's food, livestock, and water. You know?
All right.
So I thought he was saying, I thought he was talking about the water there, and then he does again.
And I thought he was talking about the money that I thought was silver.
That would be weird if he is, you know, if he is talking about.
Because that definitely wasn't gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you calling that out. All right. So this is the first time of the episode where Taka just has had enough, and he's like, I'm out. This motherfucker got us lost. And then she's like, he's not lost. Like, what are you doing? Like, he's going to figure it out. And then Strand turns the corner. He's like, yo, I'm lost. That shit was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty funny. This is also where he comes clean about Salazar, right? That, hey, I didn't tell you this, Madison, but Salazar's, you know, he's over there. He's in charge of the water, and he's super salty about me lying about Ophelia. And that's when Madison kind of lights up, and she's like, well, this is your lucky day, because I know where Ophelia is. She's with us. So we good now. So that was kind of weird that they haven't had that conversation yet. You know, like, wouldn't she just volunteer that shit? Hey, remember Ophelia? Like, one of the people that we escaped the, you know, the zombie apocalypse from twice? Yeah, she's with us now. And by the way, she's, like, Indian all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she completely forgot where she came from.
She's straight red feather.
Like, you think it would be regular convo. I don't know, man. Like, even if it's your worst enemy, you and I are in the zombie apocalypse, Ernie. And then we get separated and we come back. Like, I'm going to tell you all of my adventures I went through, right?
Right. See, and that's where my bond between them isn't believable.
Yeah. Yeah.
All because right. You're right. Wouldn't you say all your shit?
I would think so.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So they're crawling in straight up shit, dude. Like, that was cool, right? There's shit in the walls. It's in their fingers and their fucking knees. And they run into that shit zombie that's all caught up in that fan. That was cool, man. This is what I'm talking about. We had the highway scene. Yeah, okay, the fucking smoke detector beep that in the diesel engine. Okay, that somebody was asleep at the wheel there. We have the shit fucking crawling and the shit zombie. Like, they stay on top with the gore and the nasty. I like it, man. I dig it.
It was, because remember we called out our last episode we didn't have gore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So here it was. There ain't nothing more gory than fucking crawling in shit.
In shit, dude? In shit? You ain't going to wash that out. And where are you going to wash it out anyways?
It was gross. I did your typical Mexican a couple times during the scene of your, huh?
Dude.
That's gross. Dude, that's gross.
And it's human shit compiled upon human shit. Like, human shit's worse than any other shit, you know?
And then you're hacking the one with your mouth open and
you're, and then you're talking? It's like, motherfucker, stop talking. Close your mouth. Yeah.
And your eyes. You're gonna get fucking pink eye. Like, all those motherfuckers have pink eye right now.
Right now. Both eyes.
Right now. How do you get pink eye? Somebody farted on your pillowcase, you went to a strip club, or you're crawling in shit. Like, that's how you're getting pink eye. And that's it.
Those are the only three ways, man.
That's only three ways that you're getting pink eye. All those motherfuckers have pink eye now.
Oh, so nasty. That's some hepatitis for sure, too, though. I mean, that shit's in your pores now.
Yep, you better find some medicine for that Hep C.
Yeah, because look, dude, and they had to carve that motherfucker up, too, to get past him. Like, they're pulling out his shitty hands.
And then he just exploded?
Because like, when something like that happens, what is your first thing you do? You open your mouth.
Yeah.
That's all in your throat. Yeah. It's all in your throat.
All three of those motherfuckers need shots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, man. All right. So Then we flash over to Salazar. He's rushing a pregnant man to the hospital. And that's when I don't know why they're pulling over, but they pull over, maybe when they're at the gates, and he comes across Strand, who just, I guess, came out of the shit sewers, and he's ready to pull that trigger. He's ready to pull the trigger on Strand when he sees him. He's fucking done with dude, right?
Yeah.
And then it's when Madison shows her face when he's just like, all right, maybe I won't shoot, but he still has that gun up. And then she explains that Ophelia is alive.
And yeah, he didn't lie. He didn't lie immediately.
So Salazar's like, all right. It's great to see you guys. Madison didn't do anything to him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, like, why wouldn't you be like, why isn't anybody like, holy shit, why do we still continue to find each other? Like, that would be on my mind all the time. Like, we've been separated so many times, we keep coming back together.
Because you know that he's a crazy motherfucker that started the fire. You had a good house. You know that he's the one who started it.
Right. So he's still...
So, but he says, I'm not trying to be, like, giving him a hug.
Oh, Madison is like, I'm looking at you, side-eyeing you, because you burned down a good thing, because you're fucking nuts.
Right.
And I heard a little bit about
Doesn't you. Doesn't he even Chan. Say, I'm okay now, I'm better now?
Yeah, he says, I'm better now, as he looks at the ground and shit.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't dig the Salazar moments, because all I see is this little man with, like, narrow as fuck shoulders, and, like, he's no threat of anybody, and they make him a threat. They try to make him a threat. Fucking Strand is like 6'5" with no shoes on, you know? And Salazar is at best 5'1", you know? And it's just like, dude's going to be shaking in his boots over... I don't know, man. It's just so stupid. And every time Salazar and Strand are in the same scene, like side by side, Strand is either like crouching or on the floor or sitting down. Like, they never can have him standing
up. Because he's so tall.
He's such a big motherfucker. And then the illusion's gone. But I mean, you can hit angles and shit, but you can't hide them narrow ass shoulders, dude. You just can't, you know? It must have happened like when in childbirth or something like that, you know, like they broke his shoulders when he was popping them out. All right, so he has to go talk to Lola. And that was weird, because this is where we kind of first get the idea that she's playing dictator with that water. At least I did. I mean, I didn't really notice that that's where they were going to go with her storyline. We have Taka again coming at Madison, saying like, look, you don't speak for me, motherfucker. She's over here saying, hey, just let me do all the talking. Wait, hold the fuck on. You don't speak for me. Like, who is you?
Well, I don't get either. When did he fucking become in control of the ranch? Him at the same, I know he's saying like, who are you, by telling me what you're going to say, because I'm going to go back. I'm going to kick all the people out.
He's when they took control over the weapons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he is in full control of that ranch.
That just gets at me.
And she gave it to him. She gave him the extra key. She's the one that's like, Jake, it's a good idea. So maybe that's why he is so kid gloves with her. He gets mad, right? And he doesn't, like, take it out on Madison when he gets mad. He gets mad and he, like, kicks the fucking wind, you know? Like, he doesn't direct it towards her. Maybe it's because, like, A, for everything you're fucking up on, I still got the ranch. And it's because of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So they go talk with Lola, and she ain't having it, because I guess power corrupts after all. She's being a straight up asshole to them, saying we don't have enough to give as far as water. They have a whole motherfucking lake of water, like Madison points out. And she's like, I don't have enough for you, is what I meant. Right. You know? So here I'm just like, what is this all about? Why? I don't understand what the resistance is. They're coming with open hands.
Oh, come on. I knew right away, and I'm glad the show didn't beat around the bush either.
That it was a race.
And they straight said, because she was white.
I wasn't there. Honestly, I wasn't there. I was just trying to figure out why. Like they're not coming at you strong arming. They're not coming at you with an army behind them. They're like, we got some stuff that you could use, and you have what we can use, and you have more than enough. We're going to run out of guns to trade with you. You'll never run out of this water. You just won't. And it's like, why not? I wasn't on the race tip until they explained it for me later.
And this is why I'm saying, because she is like the dictator of the water now. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. And Crucito over there wants to give it back to the people. and just open up the floodgates and let everybody have water.
He's crazy.
She's trying to give everybody water, but to make sure that's okay. Like, she's not telling people no, but they're not doing fast enough or getting what they want. They have people revolting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right away, they're going to – all they're going to see as that truck drives by with a full tank is a white girl sitting in there. So you won't give it to your people, but you'll give it to the white girl who knows even where she's from.
You're already oppressing us by withholding the abundance of water.
And it's so sad that even the race thing would still play part in the zombie apocalypse. Well, look at already the Indian against the whites on the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still. During a zombie apocalypse.
You're calling it right, man. Like, they don't pussyfoot with the race cars because that has been consistent. Yeah.
I'm glad, because it's a very sad thing to say, but it's true.
Yeah, it'll be true. It would be true.
Yeah. It would be true, and it's a very sad thing to say. So I'm glad that they're showing it and they don't hold back. Like, oh, no, that's not what we were trying to say. No, they blatantly put it out there. And so in that, I wouldn't have sent Madison. I would have went straight with Chaka or Strand to go ask for it.
Well, they wouldn't even talk to Strand because of how Salazar looks so poorly upon him. And Taka, maybe you're right. Maybe Lola would have been more receptive to Taka.
Giving him like half a truck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
but the only thing is, I think Madison was leaning on, well, Salazar knows me. And, you know, see.
Oh, yeah. She was big time.
Salazar, you know, voices it when Lola goes into his room later on. And that's when he's just like, I'm not going to go after my daughter, even though I've been searching for her after all these weeks or whatever it turns out to be. I know she's safe. So it's probably best if she just thinks I'm dead anyways, because I'm just a piece of shit with narrow shoulders. And then she's just like, you know, why would you trust Madison? And he says, well, she's never lied to me, right? So Madison was right to lean on that, because he's you see him dealing with it. You see him like, okay, here's my daughter. I got to be here for Lola because I'm trying to get it in, I think. I mean, I think that's his angle, right? And then it's like, okay, dealing with Madison. I know Madison. She wouldn't lie to me. So she says Ophelia's there. I don't even question it. Not like Strand. Strand's like, oh, yeah, Ophelia's with us. Yeah, she's been with us the whole time. Are you sure? You know, he was on him. Not with Madison. Madison's just like... Uh-huh. Yeah, she's there. All right. Took him at his word. Took her at her word.
Right.
All right. So Taka later on is talking with Strand, and he just doesn't fucking like Strand, right? I love that dynamic. I like that I like the whole like smiling Strand, and the Taka's just like, I ain't with it, like the odd coupling that they have. When they first meet, remember that shit back in the bazaar? He's like, oh, who's this tall drink of water? You know, all that. I love that interaction with these two. And he doesn't like dude. He doesn't care for him. You fucking make Madison sacrifice the water, the only thing we had, right? And now she's gonna get her and her family kicked off the land because of it, because of you, because we're going back empty handed.
Because of you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that's happening. Madison is having a little talk with Lola in the dark, and that's when we find out it is a race thing, and There's some real talk right here where sometimes Madison says sometimes a leader needs to show some force to gain respect, and it gives you real insight into where Madison's head is, because look what has she done to get where she's at, you know? So she's learning that it's not we're not going to be happily ever after. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you got to give those spankings. Sometimes you got to kind of get in front of the problem and with a strong arm, you know, and that's the type of leader that she's becoming. And maybe it's going to work for her, whereas Lola is trying to be Robin Hood and it's not working. Like you called out, there's all these these revolts coming up with the people. So Lola gives her deal, and she's just like, all right, look, check this out. Why don't you bring your kids and Ophelia here? And you just leave the people behind, you know, like you guys just come here. Salazar will be happy because his daughter's here. You look like a good person that can help us with what we got going over here. Bring your kids. We'll be fine. It's rare.
Well, I like how she calls that too,
mm-hmm.
because she's trying to say how I'm doing this for my family. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I get where you're, you know, the whole dictatorship. And then that's where she turns it on and is like, okay, if you're so about your family, bring them here. Yeah. I'll let you guys work. And you'll have all the water you need.
And also just calling her out a little bit too. She's just like, you're doing it for your family. I'm doing it for my people, bitch. You know?
Right. Right. And still gives her the option. Okay. Yeah. If it's your family you're doing it for, bring them here.
Bring them here. Because it's rare a leader does right by everyone. And Madison corrects her. He's like, nah, it's not rare. It's fucking impossible.
Right.
All right. So Strand goes into his MD mode to kind of, he's doing that reconnaissance with Lola's people.
Just to see what's and I going. Love how he says it too.
In another life. I was a doctor in another life.
Yeah. I was a doctor in another life.
And he has a smirk and shit. You know, he's a con artist and he gets him through, you know, like, enough just about, you know, a little bit about everything and you're going to be able to make it through. And he's just kind of, he's trying to scope out the crew. Like, okay, let me hear what they're talking. Cause they don't know he understands Spanish. That's the other thing that he keeps in his pocket. Right. So as they're having their own conversations back and forth, they're talking about, hey, remember what Salazar said? He's a snake. And he's just kind of listening. And you see his eyes that he's understanding what they're talking about. I love how he's playing that. What else happens in that room? I can't remember anything else. It's just more just he kind of gets the temperature of what's going on, that Salazar has been killing motherfuckers and that they're afraid of Salazar.
Oh, and that he agrees with them. He patched the dude up. He gained some trust right there.
I think so. Because they're,
you know, by them seeing that.
They're at first like, don't say shit in front of him. And then at the end, they're like telling him everything. You know,
right? Exactly. You know, look, he patched him up, you know, gives him a little pat, does his little saying during their talk, like, you know, oh, this guy's cool. Like you said, it's all recon though.
That old, the one dude, he's just like, what is he that, like you called out earlier, like he just thinks it's best to open the floodgates, let the water evaporate and let God decide. Right. Because the water being power, the water and power is too much for one person, right?
Yeah.
And that's where Strand gives gives that line of uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And I don't know. I don't agree with what's going on here, because what is the right path? If you control the water, you have power, and then you can also control how that water is dispersed so that it doesn't get fucked up, that it doesn't get contaminated, that it doesn't get overtaken by another entity. So I'm a good guy and I know I'm not going to fuck anybody. So let me keep the water safe for safekeeping. If you just be like Jesus and like, here's the water for everyone, you're going to get another knucklehead coming in that's going to try to take over by force, or maybe some silly fucking kills a zombie and it contaminates the whole water filtration system. So it's like, you know, somebody has to be in charge. But then at the same time, it's like, well, why do you get to be in charge? You know, it becomes that game, you know, like, what's the right answer?
And it's still not even good enough because she hasn't told anybody no of her people. She's just trying to distribute it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, that power's getting to her. It's heavy, right? Just like Strand's talking about, it's heavy. So it's just a matter of time before it turns her hard. Taka tells Salazar he's done good with Ophelia in raising her, right? She's saved a ton of lives. Now, I just watched this, and I was watching on my computer. Does he tell Salazar about what Ophelia had also done? About, like, the backstabbing, the lies, and the murder, the attempted murdering? Does he tell him that there?
Does who?
Taka. So when Salazar...
Yes.
Okay, he does tell...
Yes.
Okay, so Salazar does... All right. All right.
He says, thank you for getting my daughter. Oh, man. Well, she, you know, what does she do there? She walks with me. She's a warrior.
Yeah.
No, I didn't raise my daughter to be a warrior. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, not a warrior. She's a hero.
Yeah.
Well, how is she a hero? She killed many people for us. My daughter's not a killer. Well, not in that sense. She had to do what she had to do. And now he's like, what the fuck? My daughter's becoming me.
Okay. All right. Missed all of it. I missed all of that. Watching it on my computer and have my son running around the room. It's kind of hard to concentrate there. So I didn't.
That's
know
when
exactly
went where. Down there, and now he's probably second guessing and probably going to go after Ophelia.
Okay, don't turn into me. All right. Let's see. So Madison is comforted by Strand later on because she's feeling that mommy guilt. Strand asks what she wants. What would an 80s perm Madison want in life? And she says that she wants the ranch. That's it. That's all she wants. So she legit wants to settle at the ranch. She wants a safe place. She wants something that's going to, she feels the ranch is going to be able to withstand. So she wants the ranch. And then she asks Strand, what would he want? And that's when, for the future. And then that's when Strand says, well, I just don't want to fail my friends. And I'm thinking like, well, what friends do you really have though? Like, who the fuck are you really talking about? Because all you got is Madison right now. You don't got anybody else. Even the kids don't really fucking like you. So we get a little bit of that bonding time. Salazar is telling Lola how shit is. And then she gets all pissy with him, being that he's her bodyguard enforcer. She's mad that he's killed to protect her. I mean, that's basically what happens in this scene when he's kind of letting her understand, like, you don't know what the fuck is going on out there. And she's just, like, pissed that she doesn't. She doesn't know. She doesn't. She hasn't been on the runs. She hasn't seen for herself what it's really like out there. And then she's mad at him for it. And let's see. Past that, Taka is out again. He's like, fuck it, I had enough. I'm leaving. I'm going back to the ranch. I'm going to kick all you motherfuckers to the curb. And Salazar, let's see. What does he do? What happens after that? I'm trying to remember. So Taka's out.
Before Taka's out, Salazar and Strand have their meeting. And basically, Strand's like, we're not going to get our water. And he's like, no, I can't do that. Because I have to deal with her being too worried about this takeover. You know, at any time, somebody could come in here and mess things up. And she doesn't understand that.
Oh, I thought that came after. Okay, so...
So that was the wink, wink.
That's when Strand gets the idea.
Yes.
Okay.
And basically, Salazar was telling him to do it. It was a whole setup. And then Taka takes off. Does his little kid, throws his little tantrum, walks off. And then lo and behold, Strand comes to save the day.
That's when they stage it so that the living are attacking the gates with the dead, right? And just in time, that's when everybody is. It shows to Lola what's really going on in the communities. And it makes her understand we have to arm up. This is a sweet deal. Let me take advantage of the sweetheart deal because we are going to get motherfuckers that are going to try to test us. Here's a prime example.
Look at, they've already, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So that pushes the deal. It seems like everybody's happy now. As everybody's leaving, Strand even shakes Salazar's hand. Right. And he's like, farewell, Salazar. And Salazar, nah, motherfucker, you're bringing my daughter in 5 days. So I'll see you then. That's about it. That's when they all kind of drive off into the sunset. They run into Taka as he's walking down that lonely stretch of highway with no dead at his heels, fortunately. And there's no cars blocking their path on the way to the ranch. And everybody smiles. And he's just like, you know, it's like an 80s movie there. Where
oh yeah, it was.
They just needed to kick on that fucking
song,
the one from like Over the Top or some shit, you know, as they drive away, and it's like they're all three best friends. I love how Strand sits bitch though. He scoots over for Taka, and he rides bitch.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, okay. One, we did see that other path was clear when they did show the cars. There was no other cars on the other side.
Yeah,
there wasn't. Only that other side was blocked. Yeah, where were the zombies? I don't know. But you have this little pull up, this slow pull up. Basically, Madison's like, get in, bitch. We're going to the mall. he nods and smiles.
Right.
They drive off. And all I hear is, you're the best around.
There it is.
You know, just like, oh, you're right. It was total 80s, dude. Just set up.
We just needed fucking Taka to have his like right arm out the window, you know, like. Throwing his fist in the air, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the image just pauses.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't
They're
know.
They're gonna get back and throw a dance at the ranch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was that bad of an episode. There were silly moments, like we called out the fucking small beep over the diesel engine. I don't enjoy any time we spend with Salazar. We need to get rid of him. He's the next Travis to get rid of. I'm digging Strand more and more, and I like Taka a lot. And when we're dealing with the kids at the ranch, I can't wait till Troy comes back. I mean, he's the winner out of all of that group, him and Nick, you know? So everybody else is exposable or expendable. So, I mean, it's a chore. Like, start tightening up the story. Stop giving us 2 hours of bullshit when you pack them in. Just give us a really strong episode. Condense that shit. Stop trying to aim and shoot for the fences. Give us like 13 episode seasons. We're solid, you know? Like, stop trying to spread that shit too thin. It doesn't work. You know, it's too much homework
for me. And see, that's why I was mad, because I knew they were going to get the, water. And that's exactly what happened. You got the water. Okay. Next episode is going to show something that went down at the ranch. And then next episode is going to be them coming back. And then probably Salazar is going to come back to the ranch and end up siding with Madison on how they have to take down Taka because he's out of control. And then they're all going to have to come together because the crazy son's going to come back with his own army.
That's what I think is going to happen. That's the going on. That is going to be the antagonist of the rest of this, whatever's left of this season. Because Taka, he is intrigued with Madison. Madison has only proved herself. She's going to continue to be second in command, but really first in command. And Taka's going to be the muscle. And I think they're going to get that ranch together. And they already see that they can't fucking rise up. You can't mouth off, motherfucker. We'll go ahead and exile you. You want to go join Troy? So,
right.
I think that's where we're gonna. That's where the issue is gonna be. And then maybe the water scenario. Maybe the community overthrows. They get through those gates, and the water gets contaminated, or something happens to the water where it's just like it's no longer, you know, a given that we're going to have fresh water. Maybe the only water we see is in that tank that Madison drove off with. Yeah. I mean, it could be good. I mean, fuck, if it was just one more episode, I think all we need is one more episode. Tie it all up, you know, give us Walking Dead proper. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Pretty soon.
Almost there. All right, man. So anything else on this episode?
Nah, that was it. Like I said, it was a water episode. They got water. All right, let's move along. Let's move along.
All right, so Ernie, let the audience know how we keep up with the Fallen Fett.
You can check out the Fallen Fett on Toy Migos, on a little show called They're Not Dolls, on the Raw Live Unedited Network, SoundCloud, iTunes. Check out our YouTube page for all the latest reviews on what we think is cool, and check out our Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Weebly at Toy Migos.
And remember to stay tuned to Raw Live Unedited Podcasting Network at rawlivepod.com. The RLU network is found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud, Google Play, and now TuneIn app. Support the show by telling a friend. Follow us on Instagram at Raw Live Unedited, as well as Raw Live Unedited on Facebook. And give us some comments in iTunes. Help bump us up in the ratings. Stay tuned with us all week as we have new programming 7 days a week. We have the Boys with Their Toys bringing you new episodes of the video gaming podcast, The Loading Screen Mondays. Dive into some serious nerd shit with Ayo Mr. Big Geek as he breaks down all the must-read comics of the week. That will eventually be Tuesdays. Ernie the Fallen Fett and myself will continue to break down the newest episodes of Fear the Walking Dead leading into The Walking Dead on Fear the Podcasting Dead. That's Wednesdays. Listen to the Toy Migos Thursdays. That's Cheney 180 and the Fallen Fett himself on They're Not Dolls podcast. Always bringing the latest toy news and reviews. Don't forget about RLU this week as we recap the week's events, raw, live, and unedited. That is Fridays. Subscribe to the Go Figures podcast, bringing you live content on their YouTube channel Friday nights, which you can then listen to here exclusively every Saturday. Jump in line with the Sarlacc Digest podcast every other Sunday, as they break down all the Star Wars news you need to know. Keep an ear out, because we're definitely going to be getting into that conspiracy show, myself and Ernie, in the coming weeks. We just have to kind of break down what our content needs to look like and sound like. But that is something that, I mean, I'm all about all these multiverses right now. I'm reading so much.
I can't wait. Yeah.
So much into it. So I can't wait to geek out with you on those topics. So keep an ear out for that. And thanks for listening, everybody.